President Obama puts Wall Street bonuses in his sights as he calls for new curbs on risky behavior by banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Obama wants new financial reforms to curb the tendency of big banks to place big bets that can threaten the financial system. In an interview with Marketplace, the president suggested one of the problems is the incentives system, in which traders get bonuses when bets go well but get to keep the money when their trades go wrong. The president spoke to my colleague, Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl, who put the question this way.
Would we be better off if banking was boring again?
Absolutely. And I've said that repeatedly. Some of the work to get that done, though, involves restructuring the banks themselves, how they work internally. Right now, if you are in one of the big banks, the profit center is the trading desk, and you can generate a huge amount of bonuses by making some big bets. You will be rewarded on the upside. If you make a really bad bet, a lot of times you've already banked all your bonuses. You might end up leaving the shop, but in the meantime, everybody else is left holding the bag. Now, what we've been able to do is to try to prevent taxpayers from being the folks who are left holding the bag, but it's still not a real efficient way for us to run a financial system. That's going to require some further reforms. That's going to require us looking at additional steps that we can take. But you know, keep in mind that one of my key focuses over the last couple of years has just been to make sure that we've got a circuit breaker so that if certain banks are making bad decisions, they are less likely to bring down the entire system, which is what happened in 2007-2008.
You can hear the interview with President Obama on the economy, jobs, and the future of the financial services industry on Marketplace's PM show with Kai Rizdahl later today. Now to security and air travel. U.S. authorities have called for tighter controls at some airports flying directly to the United States. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin has more.
The authorities are remaining tight-lipped about what exactly is changing. But the so-called enhanced security measures requested by the Department of Homeland Security are expected to include more attention being paid to shoes and electronic devices. Intelligence experts say devices that may be of particular concern in this latest alert are likely to involve non-metallic, low-vapor explosives, which are hard but not impossible to detect. So you can expect to see more use of explosive scanners and full-body scanners when next passing through the airport. The UK airport authorities have said that they don't expect to see major delays, but with the Independence Day holiday coming up this weekend, that may be quite a challenge to ensure.
The BBC's Jonathan Frewin in London. There is also word today that the U.S. government has given a new $190 million contract to the security firm that once did the security check on the leaker of the century, Edward Snowden. The Wall Street Journal says the government is satisfied that U.S. Investigations Services of Falls Church, Virginia, has dealt with accusations its security clearance system was riddled with fraud. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up nearly 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up ahead of the government's big employment and unemployment report that's on the way in just over an hour and a half. Now, let me paint one picture of a multi-generational home in America. Gerald, we will call him Gerald, has a college degree, but he can't find proper work, not for want of trying. So there he is, dwelling in his old room amid his ancient G.I. Joes, siphoning off Pop-Tarts from the pantry and feeling miserable that he's stuck bickering with Mom and Dad. But there is a brighter view of multi-generational households of the future, and here to talk about that is Marketplace's economics guy, Chris Farrell. Hiya, Chris.
Hello. How are you doing, David? And yes, I have a much brighter view of the economics that are underlying this trend toward an increasing number of multi-generational households. And there's some positive reasons for people to be living together.
All right. What are a couple of the reasons then?
Well, one thing is, you know, when we think about the image of kids coming back, you know, a lot of it is shaped. When I was growing up, the average house size was what, like 1,000 square feet? And you could just imagine the parents standing at the door. Don't come back. There's no room at the inn. Now the average house is what, 2,000 square feet? There's just a lot more space. You can do a little remodeling so people can have their privacy. So frankly, I just think the living circumstances are much easier.
And it is true. I mean, we're recent empty nesters. You do actually miss the offspring now and again. It isn't by definition a horrible situation. But the thing is, you want your kids to be living productively. Do you think they could be if they were living in this kind of situation?
Well, this is the aspect that I find fascinating. You know, one of the things that comes out of this post-meltdown era is that everyone has sort of a DIY mindset. And this younger generation, they're thinking about multiple careers and maybe having a little micro enterprise on the side. And then you look at the seniors. Seniors are creating their own businesses faster than any other age group. So where do we create businesses these days? Well, we always talk about the garage, right? I mean, that's the classic.
It's always the garage in Palo Alto. But the fact is, it could be in the basement or it could be in the living room.
Exactly. So you pool your resources. You have these entrepreneurs living under the same roof. It's cost efficient. So the personal economics are strong, and the underlying economic story of our country embracing more and more entrepreneurship, they come together in the multi-generational household.
Chris Farrell, our maven of economics at Marketplace, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And we once asked HP CEO, the former one, Meg Whitman, to describe her job in 5 words or less. It took her 22. Now, my colleague Kai asked Mr. Obama to give it a try. President of the United States would have worked. So does call me Commander-in-Chief. See how many words the president actually used at Marketplace.org. Spoiler alert, more than 5 words. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.